Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Candid Life Lesson Podcast. This is going to be a solo episode where I will be talking about my own personal insecurities. Now, I did play this episode for my wife when I was done recording, and it did have her in tears. I wish I could say that they were happy tears, but it did bring back some not so fond memories of how things used to be. But before we get into today's episode, do me a favor. If you could like, subscribe, and follow wherever you're listening to this podcast and share with family and friends. It would also mean a lot if you could leave a comment so others can see the value this podcast creates. Now let's go ahead and get into today's episode. Hello, everybody, and thank you so much for joining me today. We have a good conversation about insecurities coming up. This was a difficult topic for me to discuss because it does point out a lot of the opportunities that I have and had early in our marriage. And some, again, still continue to this day. Now, I do have at least four insecurities that I do want to talk through with you. There are, of course, a multitude of different types of insecurities that I'm sure you could even look up online. But four played, I think, a big factor early on in my marriage, and I kind of wanted to walk you through some of those today. Some you may have experienced, some you may experience later on, but hopefully my examples will kind of shed a little bit of light of, you know, what it can look like when you are insecure and how sometimes we are just kind of blinded because, again, we think we're positioning something positively or we're thinking that we're coming from a good place when in reality, if we dig down deep, some of our thoughts and ideas could be coming from a deeper place that we're not maybe aware of, and it is something that we need to pay attention to. So the top four insecurities that I had in my marriage were work insecurities, and I'll talk through that in a second. Relationship insecurities, which is going to be the biggest one that we'll discuss today. Parent insecurities and financial insecurities. Now, financial insecurities, I will have an episode specifically dedicated to our financial journey from where we were when we started to currently where we are now. So if that is something that you're going to be interested in, please make sure you stay current with the notifications on the next episodes to come out. That's going to be a really good topic to dig into. So please make sure you tune in for that one. So work insecurities for me, it wasn't necessarily that I was afraid of losing my job. It was more of the fact that there was so much pressure on me to make sure that I maintained and kept my job. And it left me sometimes a little insecure about, am I making enough money? Am I doing the right thing? Should I be doing something different? Am I performing well enough at work to make sure that I do keep these jobs? Because, you know, we had an apartment. We had a little putt-putt car that we were paying for to get us from point A to point B that had no AC. We live in Texas. You know what that must feel like in 100-degree weather during the summertime. And so it did put a lot of stress and pressure on our relationship and on me personally. And I don't think I necessarily expressed that enough, but it was something that did play a big factor in my mental stress. And even to this day, it still holds a little bit of weight too. You know, I'm a little bit more secure in where I'm at in my career, but at the time in my early 20s, not really knowing what I wanted to do, that was a tough one for me early. I also had parent insecurities of trying to be the best father that I could be, the best provider that I could be, and making sure that I was going to be the role model that I wanted to be. Now, growing up, I didn't have any siblings that were babies. I have an older brother who's 6 years older than me and a younger brother who's 1 year younger than me. So growing up, I wasn't around a lot of babies. So when I had my son at 20, 21 years old, that was the first time that I've ever held a baby, ever changed a diaper, ever took on any type of responsibility as far as caring for another human being. And my wife, again, also was young at the time. And so I think she had a little bit of experience in, you know, babysitting kids and stuff like that when she was growing up. So she had a little bit of experience in that. But, you know, both of us were really just trying to figure out what we were trying to do. And I wanted to make sure that I was making the right type of impact. You know, with the limited time that I did spend at home, I wanted to make sure that I was there for my son. He knew who I was. He knew I was providing. I wanted to give him anything and everything that he needed. And so I did have a lot of insecurities in that area. And I still do to this day as well. You know, now that my son is 15 years old, he's getting older. He understands things a lot more. He knows that Dad sometimes has to work late and, you know, has to do things around the house and has to pay the bills. And so I think I take on a bigger responsibility now that he's getting into that teenage stage where he's going to start working. I want to make sure that I'm a good example for him, not only at home and being a good husband, but also being a good provider. And one of the main insecurities that I had was in my relationship. And at the time, I didn't realize this was an insecurity of mine. It wasn't intentional by no means. And I also didn't realize what I was doing to my wife long term, mentally, and how much I was shifting and changing who she was and her thought process. So to give you an idea of what I'm talking about, so my wife would go shopping for clothes. She'd come home excited, wanting to show me what she picked out, what she got. And so she would go change in the room and then do her little walk. And of course, she looked beautiful, like she always does. And I, of course, made sure I told her, man, you look beautiful. Love the way that fits on you. And what I would always do is I would compliment, but then I would also follow up with, just be careful because that shirt is a little low cut. So if you turn a certain way or you bend down to pick something up, like, I just don't want you to expose yourself too much. It would just be little comments like that. And at the time, I didn't realize the significance and the impact that that would have. Because, you know, over, you know, a couple days may not impact you, but you hear that for a month, you hear that for a year, and then you hear that for 5 years consecutively, that can have a toll on somebody mentally. And I didn't realize it until one day she, you know, went, bought some clothes, and right before she goes to try it on, again, she comes in excited, like, hey, I found this outfit, looks really good. Don't worry, it's not revealing. I really think you're going to like it. I think you'll approve it. And she went, tried it on, came out. You know, I don't recall exactly what I said, other than I'm sure I complimented her and how nice she looked. But it wasn't until later that I really started thinking, like, what does she mean by, I think you're going to like it, you'll approve it, and don't worry, it's not too revealing. And that was the moment, I think, my mind shifted, and I started to really think about, man, what have I been telling her to make her think that she needed my approval to pick out certain clothes? And then I started thinking, like, every time she goes to pick something out, is she thinking, man, is Eric going to like this? Is he going to make a comment about this? And that started to really turn. I'm a thinker naturally, so that really had my head spinning. And so, of course, I had to have a conversation and ask her about it to validate and see if I was not just reading into something too much. And, of course, I was right. You know, she did express to me at that time, like, you know, there are times where, you know, I want to look pretty or I want to look a certain way. And I can't, or if I do, I know I'm going to hear some type of comment. And I would just much rather avoid that entire conversation or that type of comment and just pick something that I feel like you won't make a comment about. But of course, me being me, even if she were to pick something that was quote unquote Eric's approval, I probably would still say something about it. Because, of course, I can't keep my mouth shut, right? But I knew, like, I could see how much she was hurting. You know, not to the point where, you know, maybe she's breaking down and crying, but here's my wife, most beautiful woman in the world, having to change who she is because of my own personal insecurities. Now, at the time, when I'm making these comments, I'm thinking, I'm just making sure she's aware. Just in case something happens, because I'm a thinker and I think all these things all the time, let me just share with her what my thoughts are. But obviously, she's not a thinker. Not to mention, she's smart enough to know. Like, she doesn't need me to tell her that. And my wife is extremely modest. So I know she's not going to do something to, you know, either expose herself or put herself in an uncomfortable situation. I know she won't do that. So why do I feel the need to have to tell her that? And after a lot of self-reflection and really trying to dig deep, it really stemmed down to it being my own personal insecurity about how I looked or the type of attention I didn't want her to get from other people. And we were dating when we were in high school. And I guess the best way I could put it to make, I guess, like a visual picture is when you have like these celebrities like a Chris Hemsworth, a Chris Evans, you know, your Selma Hayek, your Scarlett Johansson, like these are top tier in regards to like looks, right? If they're dating somebody, the person that they're dating needs to be at that same type of level. And I can't remember which actor it was. It might have been Chris Evans, but I know he was dating somebody that he really cared about a lot, and I had seen it in an interview before. And he cared about her a lot, but they split because she couldn't handle the type of trolling that was going on the internet, saying that she wasn't good enough, she didn't meet, you know, that standard that everybody else had set. And it impacted her mental health. Now, when we were dating in high school, of course, kids being kids, right? Those were some of the comments that were said that I knew about. Like, why is she with him? She could be with somebody better. And at the time, I didn't think that it really mattered to me. Because in my mind, I'm thinking, well, I can care less what they think. But I think subconsciously, it did play a factor. And so, seeing her in these outfits and looking amazing, I think that did play a factor in why I would make those comments. Because I was more insecure about myself and thinking if she were to get attention from somebody else who may be at that level, that tier of where she's at, then maybe she's going to leave me. And of course, that's the wrong way to look at it. But you're in your early 20s, you're not thinking clearly. It wasn't until a little later that I really, like I said, self-reflected and really understood where those comments were coming from. And then I really started to think, like, man, I bring so much value to this relationship. And all of the things that my wife would tell me, as how much she loved me, how much she cared about me, appreciating the things that I did, how handsome I was, like, all of the factors were there to show me that she loved me. But internally, I couldn't get past that. And so that created a little bit, well, not even a little bit, it created a lot of opportunities for me early on in the marriage. And still, again, I'm not perfect, right? I mean, there may be still times that I come up and say something that I shouldn't. You know, whenever we had that conversation and she was explaining to me how it made her feel and why she would then pick certain things to get my approval or to at least minimize the amount of comments that I would make, you know, I told her, look, moving forward, I'm going to do my absolute best to make sure that I don't make you feel that certain way. Now, it wasn't instant. As soon as she tried on something different, I would say, wow, you look really beautiful. I love the way that looks on you. There would be a facial expression, like if she's waiting for that comment. And that went on for a few years after that. I did it for so long that it just became more natural that she would hear something like that. And even when I didn't say it, in her mind, she was still thinking that I was thinking that. But you know, that's what I did, and I knew I was going to have to put in a lot more work to make her feel secure about herself and her body and how she looked. But it was work that I needed to put in because I'm the one that created that mindset for her. But what really helped me make it feel more genuine to whenever I would tell her is I really had to let go of that feeling. And it wasn't easy, but I had to, again, really understand what values that I bring to this relationship. I'm not somebody that really cares a lot about, like, my physical appearance. I mean, obviously, I want to dress nice and I want to look good for her, but I really don't care too much about what other people think about me. As long as the people that I love care and show me how much they love me, that's really all that matters to me. But it took me a while to get there. I had listened to an interview with Will Smith. It was probably maybe about 2 years ago, 2 or 3 years ago or so. And it was when him and Jada were going through their issue with the Red Table Talk stuff that Jada had to do about their relationship. And Will had did a video about happiness. And it just to kind of paraphrase it, because I don't remember it word for word, but he was basically saying, like, you're in charge of your own happiness. Your spouse, your significant other, can't make you happy. You have to be able to make yourself happy. Now, they can do things to make you happy. They can give you things to make you happy. They can make you smile. They can make you laugh. But at the end of the day, you have to be good with yourself. to make yourself happy. You're responsible for your own happiness. And that was a huge eye-opener too when listening to that. I mean, it was something, again, that we had already been working towards and I had been working towards, but it really put something in perspective for me that day. I'm like, that's true. You know, so many times it's unfair that I try to put so much burden onto my wife or anybody to put that burden onto somebody else to try to make them happy. Because at the end of the day, it's my choice, right? If I choose to be mad at something or if I choose to be happy about something, that's my choice. That other person has no control over that. And the biggest thing that I really regret in doing things like that early on is you lose trust in your relationship. Now, for me, trust is absolute top three, maybe number one or two in a relationship. Without trust, you're going to have a very difficult and rough relationship. You have to be able to trust your significant other. Now, I've seen on like social media, I've even known family and friends where the insecurity of the relationship is so rough and the trust is gone, where people are snooping on other people's phones. They're sleeping, they try to get their thumb to fingerprint ID and open it up to go through text messages, emails. And when you're at that snooping level, you're in a rough spot. It's not for me to judge, but I just know that type of feeling of not knowing if the other person is, you know, cheating or talking to somebody else. Like, there's just so much that needs to be mended. And if it continues and there's no communication, then the situation is only going to get worse. Every text message that beeps through, there's going to be suspicion. Every phone call that comes through, even sometimes depending on the time of day it is too. It could be your mom texting or calling you at 9 o'clock at night, and immediate thought is, who's that calling on the other line? Every like, every follow on social media becomes questionable, and it just makes a very toxic environment. And some of these things aren't easy to talk about with your significant other. If there hasn't already been some type of communication, then these can be really touchy subjects. So if you're not at a level where you feel comfortable, then of course you got to work on communication first. And that's why I wanted to make episode one about communication, because without communication, everything becomes 20 times harder if you're not able to express how you feel. You know, the conversation that I had with my wife about my insecurities, it wasn't as clear as it may have sounded, me giving the example. I think it was a little hard for her to open up and trust that if she were to tell me how she feels, that I wouldn't overreact to that situation. Or immediately, right, my thought process may be to defend myself and why I said this. And so it's just something that you, of course, have to pay attention to. I would recommend, you know, maybe even talking to somebody who's a professional, like a therapist or a counselor, if communication is an opportunity. Because without that, it's going to be hard to bring any insecurities to the table or even discuss maybe somebody else's insecurities with them as an opportunity that you may have identified. That's always going to be a tough conversation. Now, I haven't personally done any couples therapy or counseling, but I did talk to a friend who has gone through it, and they went through it probably about 2 years ago, and they had asked me if I've ever done it, and I said, well, no, I've never done it. We're actually in a really good spot. We communicate really well. Things are going really good. And the analogy the person used and told me was, that's great, but here's what we were told and why we decided to do it, even though they were also in a good position, is people go to the doctor for their yearly checkups to help prevent things from happening, right? It's preventative or to catch things early. You don't want to go to the doctor when it's an emergency situation because that may require surgery and extensive recovery time. Whereas if you would have been going regularly to the doctor, you could have caught it early and maybe have prevented it, and it would have been a lot easier to manage and maintain. And he said that's the same thing about couples therapy. You don't want to go when you're already at a point where things are difficult. Even if you feel like your relationship is good, they can still help maybe point out some gaps that you weren't able to identify and start working on early to prevent any type of failure. And when you put it in that term, I'm like, man, that makes so much sense. So we've talked about, you know, maybe within the next year, I'm looking to do some type of couples therapy. So stay tuned, because if we do decide to do something like that, I will absolutely come on here and share it, because I do see that it can bring a lot of value. But just remember, everybody has insecurities, things that they need to work through. Sometimes we can't always self-identify. You know, there have been times where, you know, my wife has brought something to me where she feels a certain way about either something that I'm doing, and again, I don't realize, and after she brings it to my attention, and I'm not saying every time she brings it, I'm like, okay, cool, yeah, let's go ahead and fix that. There are times where, of course, I may get defensive, but when I do a little, you know, self-reflection afterwards, I'm like, okay, I can see her point of view and where she's coming from, and then I can go in and make that adjustment. You know, I do remember this one time I was at my brother's house, and me and my wife like to joke and play, and my brother tells me, he pulls me to the side one time, and we like to joke around, and, you know, we would call each other names, but not using cuss words, just like, hey, fool, go get me, you know, a drink here, or, you know, she's like, fool, you got legs, you can go do this, and you know, so it was just like little bit of back and forth, but, you know, just in joking spirit. But my brother pulled me aside one day and said, hey, I don't mean to pry or get into your business, but I really don't like the way you talk to your wife sometimes. And that took me back. Like, I got so defensive. I got so heated. I'm like, who do you think you are to come in and tell me how my relationship is? Like, we're just joking around. We're having a good time. We're just playing with each other. Now, of course, I didn't tell him that, but that's where my mind went. Because he's my brother, and I'm going to respect his, you know, his thoughts and how he feels. Doesn't mean I always have to agree with what he says, but you know what? He's obviously coming from a good place, and he always has, so I didn't take any offense to it, at least verbally. In my mind, I'm like, where is this coming from? What are you talking about? So on the car ride home, I'm telling my wife, and she's like, really? He said that? And I'm like, yeah. She goes, well, yeah, I guess there are some times when we're around other people who don't know us and don't know how we joke around where that could come across offensive. And I'm like, man, I didn't even, like, I don't want to put her in a situation where people either think I treat her bad or I embarrass her by saying certain things. And I should be treating her like a queen, no matter if we're at home, in front of friends, around people we know, or complete strangers. She should be treated the same. And later on, my brother actually made another comment to me and said, man, I've seen a huge change, and I don't know if it's about the comment that I made, but I've seen a huge change in how both of y'all treat each other, and it makes me happy. But had he have not said something, you know, we may have gotten to it at some point, but it would have been maybe a little bit further on in the relationship, and again, who knows? Who knows if it would have just been a habit that we continued? So I guess my point of this episode is to just help everybody understand that we all have insecurities. We all have our own demons that we have to battle and we have to deal with. But being able to look and identify certain things, you know, looking to see the way people react to things that you do, things that you say, and see if there could be a potential opportunity there. Or maybe ask somebody if you feel comfortable enough to hear that feedback. But remember, you got to take that step back and listen. And just take it in, and again, you either choose to make an adjustment or you don't, right? You don't have to agree with everything that somebody says. But again, it's that person's perspective and the feedback that they're providing you to try to make you a better person. So that's going to do it for today's episode. I hope you guys enjoyed and had a really good time listening to this. Hopefully, this will create some type of conversation with you, your spouse, your brothers, your sisters, your parents, whoever. Thank you guys so much for joining me today and listening to me and how terrible I was as a husband in my first few years of marriage. But I will take you through this journey. I do want you guys to hopefully learn from my bad experiences and try to avoid at all costs. Or if you notice there's something that you're doing, hopefully this will be that thought-provoking idea to start making that shift and that change to become a better person. But I do appreciate you guys. Thank y'all so much for tuning in today. I hope you have a great rest of your evening or morning if you're listening in the morning.